Welcome to Erotic Wisdom with Mrs. Love.
So here we go to another episode of Erotic Wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm sitting with this wonderful young man, Ruben, yes. 19 years old. And we're just watching the sun setting in Scarborough in the tip of South Africa, very close to the end of the world.
Yeah, such a beautiful house and such a beautiful sunset.
I know.
Imagine for, yeah.
You're very blessed here. Mm. And today I invited Ruben to have this conversation with me because I'm very curious about his relationship status. This is the jargon that goes around at this time. So I've met Ruben is the son of a dear friend of mine. Mm. And she just mentioned that he is in a relationship with six people.
Yes.
And they call it, what do you call it?
The sexagon.
The sexagon.
Yes.
And when I heard that, I suddenly got, oh my God, I need to ask him a lot of questions. This really intrigued me. And we were in a festival, and so I couldn't get to him quickly. Mm. And I'm going to get to you. Let me talk to you rather to the audience that is listening. they're eavesdropping on this conversation. I'm actually having this conversation with you. And I sat in my tent thinking about, I had so many questions immediately. And so here I'm going to lay all the questions to you. Finally, I got you here in my house. I could never find you at the festival.
Yeah.
It was never the right time.
So chaotic, yeah.
Yeah, so chaotic and socially demanding, the festival space. So, yeah, because Ruben also told me there were other member of your relationship group there at the festival. We tried to have this podcast together.
Yeah.
It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so here we are. And I always feel this is the perfect time and the right moment because what is happening is happening. So it's imperfection.
Yeah. And it flowed that way. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So here is my first question. This is the sexagon.
Yes.
So you're in a relationship with six. Including you, so other five.
Yeah.
So my main thought is, are you having sex with all of five? Is everybody having sex with everybody?
No, so it's a little bit complicated. So two partners have made their relationship monogamous. Originally, when I wasn't a part of the group, they were kind of interacting with everyone and had more of a sexual relationship. I'm not sure if it was sexual yet, but it was getting to that point with the other partners, and then they decided to be monogamous and close it down. Then there's the other three partners, and so I know that I should probably say partner one or partner two.
Mm.
Give them
let's not name them.
Yes, partner one she had an intimate relationship with partner two, and he doesn't have a sexual relationship with partner three, but I have a kind of sexual relationship with partner one as well, but not with the rest of them. So
okay,
it's very
and so what links, like, okay, so it's all spin around this first relating of the one and two, and then you all are associated lovers. Could we call it like that? You're a lover of the partner one, and so you entering this constellation.
Yeah.
And then her partner has lover with number three, has an intimate relationship with number three.
Hmm.
What about number four and number five? How do they get into the mix?
So it's kind of like a polyamorous family, if that makes sense. So
yes.
It's kind of like... but the idea is that each person has a part for you. And it doesn't necessarily always mean that it's sexual. That it means that they have a different part. Maybe like partner two, he has more of a brother kind of relationship with me. Whereas with partner one, him and her are a little bit more intimate. They aren't sexual though. And right now, but Yeah, and the other two, they're kind of like family almost. They're just there and they interact with each other, and we have group discussions together, and we try and we move through like our emotions together, and we try and work through them all together. So they kind of just are there to help and give their views on that and help us work out whatever we're going through within the relationship.
It's lovely. It sounds like a pod.
Yeah.
And I love that. I mean, is anybody sexually active with anybody in the group?
So currently, no. There's it's more energetic kind of encounters that have been happening, but no penetrative sex. But the two monogamous people, they have penetrative sex, I think. Okay.
Wow, that's so interesting to hear, because, you know, my imagination thinks, you know, in your age group, you know, 20s. You are almost 20 and they are in the early 20s, no? Everybody has sex with each other. The hormones are like off the roof.
Yeah.
And these are opportunity to just express. So it's really lovely to hear that not necessarily goes that way.
No. So, yeah, it is... Me and partner one definitely have a very intimate connection, and it is moving towards a more sexual thing, but we're healing some traumas around that and making sure it's healthy for us to both enter that space together before we go there. And I think that it's shifted out of that with the other male, the second partner, but it's also like it flows, so it's not necessarily a fixed thing. And if you feel the attraction in it, there's always space for that to become a possibility in the
so if group. You would feel now attracted to another partner, let's not even give it a gender, because now let's be completely fluid. Let me go break out of my mental skin, because I want to say if you like a girl and now suddenly feel, oh my god, I'm so old-fashioned now. But if you would like another person, would that person enter the whole group? Would you maintain this intimate relationship with another outside of the group? Or there is an agreement that now you would invite this person in the group, that everybody must get to know him or her?
I think it's kind of difficult. I think it would have to do with their views and beliefs and how they want to
They is the group or the person?
The person. So if they... live a kind of different life. We're very on the road. We travel a lot. We're in the van. We stay in a van sometimes.
Well, six of you.
Not all six of us. So the monogamous couple has a house and they live on a farm. And we travel in the van, mostly me and the other three partners are normally in the van together.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's, so if we had a partner outside of the group, I think that it would depend on their views and beliefs and if they could align with the way that we live and move through the world in this van and the constant movement and going to festivals.
But partner four and five are not in the van all the time.
No.
I'm calling you six now, like in the constellation,
yeah?
So they're not really embracing this lifestyle of traveling, but somehow are still included
in the group.
How does that work?
So they're not really... they're not really traveling with us, but we do go and stay there at the house often, like go and rest there and recuperate there. So we spend a lot of time with them.
That's the pit stop.
Yeah, and they have very similar views, I suppose, and like...
And they're also in a relationship, four and five.
Yeah, they are in a monogamous
relationship, but they like more. I mean, I'm curious, it's like, do you kiss everybody?
So it's interesting. Partner one is basically partners with the other three partners. So me and two and I can't.
Three
it's so
and
three,
four
three,
and
yeah.
three.
Yeah. So she basically is partners with three people, and we all kiss her, but we don't kiss each other. I know that. I know that three and four have kissed before, and then they decided that it wasn't really. It doesn't,
where they want
yeah,
to go.
Yeah. So they made it a platonic relationship.
Okay.
But yeah, we are allowed to, and I've also been kind of curious and moving towards one of the other partners, like two, I've had an attraction to her. And yeah, also in the beginning it was quite intense, and it kind of shifted out of that, and I'm not sure where it's gonna go, but yeah.
Okay. Wow, this is so beautiful, because actually you give power to all the nuances that happen in the space when we are together, you know. And then it's so simple to simplify it with, are you having sex? Then you are together, then you are a couple, you know, that's what's mark the partnership, if you're having sex. And if you're not having sex, then you're just friend. But sometimes there are shallow friendship and there are very deep, profound, intimate friendship. When I was young, I've always been mainly single in my life. Well, then I met the father of my daughter. We were together for 10 years.
Okay, wow.
So I had this one long relationship.
Yeah.
But that happened in my 30s.
Okay.
Until then, I was pretty much single. And I'm single again. So this is maybe my destiny. I don't know. But when I was 17, 18, up to my 20, and my friends were having marriage, and they have the big birthday party, like turning 18, and they invite you and your boyfriend. And at the wedding, they invite you and your boyfriend. And I never had a boyfriend, but I always had a boy friend.
I had this boy,
he was a gay guy, he was my bestie.
Yeah.
We had so many adventures together.
Okay.
And if I'm gonna look at it now, with the lens that you're presenting, we were in a love affair. I think he loved me. I think he was really attracted to me, but not sexually, because I was a woman. But probably he wanted to be the woman that I was, in a sense. You know, he was really fascinated by my femininity and my eroticism. And one time he had a lover, and I remember he brought the lover home, and he invited me in the bed. He wanted to watch me making love with this guy. This guy was from Tunis. And, you know, I think many men, now I'm generalizing, I hope I don't make a scandalous statement, but in my experience, many men in the Maghreb, in, you know, the Islamic country, have free relationship with other men, because they don't need to marry. Marriage is sacred and have the children, but it's also sinful.
Okay,
and having sex with another man is not sinful, because the woman is actually impure, but men are pure. And so many men have sexual relating with other men. And so this man was in relationship with my friend, you know, he they met in Tunis, and then they came to Italy, and then one night he invited me to also have sex with him, because he knew that his partner likes women, although he also was liking him. And then in that dynamic, I think he tried to have sex with me too. I think he needed to have this other man in the picture for the two of us to also become sexual. Because we were very friendly. We laugh about everything. He made me laugh a lot. And that's the most beautiful things of relationship. Laughter. Because when we laugh, we relax. We don't have to pretend and have all this, you know, seduction game. We can be very vulnerable. And so we were very close and intimate, but there was never the moment where we could have sex with each other.
Because
he was gay. But I think, of course, we were in our early 20s. There was curiosity, because do you know what you are? Also, he was gay. That is just a label. He liked men there and then, but I feel he had a curiosity for women. Or at least he wanted, that's it. He wanted to have had an experience with a woman. He wanted to try to make love with a woman again, even to check with himself.
Oh, wow, to see maybe if he might still have that attraction or something. Okay.
Maybe he liked it, but he didn't know how to get around with it. Or maybe actually, no, he didn't really like him and he's definitely gay.
Yeah.
You know, how do you explore like this? You know, you can only do it with friends, actually. They allow you this playground. And so I've got a vague memory. I have to admit, we were maybe pretty drunk too, because in those days, you know, we were breaking many taboos. You know, this is 25 years ago. I'm 50. We were early 20, over 25 years ago, you know, so we needed to be a little bit stoned to go there. And I don't, I've got a vague memory of what happened there. I still don't remember if actually we had penetrative sex, me and my gay friend, or not.
Yeah.
Or we just kissed and we touched. It's all a bit of a blur, because I think we were pretty drunk. And of course, we didn't talk about it after.
Yeah.
And but we were still friends. We stayed friends and we moved on.
Yeah.
And I always knew he had a sexual attraction to me. And I was explorative. Mm. And for me, friendship also meant that, yes, if I can, I'll offer you this experience as my friend.
Yeah.
Why not? Because I love you. You know, and my sexuality is not so personal.
Yeah.
It's also the movement of reality, it's existence. And it could be beautiful for me. It doesn't mean I have to marry you or you have to declare your love forever for me. We can also just have sex. It's something friends should be able to offer each other, because we respect each other and we honor each other and we deeply love each other. And it's interesting for me because with friends that we love and respect and we honor, we generally don't have sex. But we go have sex with a stranger that we don't respect.
Really
we don't really know.
Yeah.
We maybe not feeling safe. We don't even have their phone number. We don't know their name. But we do. It's bizarre.
It is a bit bizarre.
You know how we are scattered in our intimate relating.
Sure.
The world doesn't support the truth.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to the beginning of this piece because every time my friend invited me to a wedding, if I had a boyfriend, he was welcome. But my boy, gay friend, no, because he was just my friend.
So you weren't allowed to bring him?
No.
Oh, wow, that's so weird.
And I used to be so upset all the time, to the point of tears, to think, well, my girlfriend is bringing this dude that is her boyfriend now, maybe for 4 months, maybe for 5 months, and then he's going to be the asshole, the bastard, that one, the you know, whatever is the reason to break out. And I've got this gay friend for 5 years already. He's my beloved. I honor him.
Yeah.
He's my connection. He's my life connection. It's my intimate connection. But because we're not declared in a relationship, I can't bring it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so interesting.
In those days,
is,
I think if that would have happened now,
would be more accepted.
Because I think that's what you guys are doing now.
Trying to bring more acceptance to that.
And you declaring that a relationship where you feel yourself and relax and you have honest communication, you honor that with the world of relationship. It's not casual. You choose some people with whom to really unfold and unravel be intimate with. And it doesn't, the fact that you have sex or not is actually a detail. And in our days, that was paramount.
I see. Wow.
You know, it's really powerful how it's shifting. Because what I'm hearing you say, that you guys give more power to the heart than you do to the genitals.
I definitely would say that is, that is definitely what we're moving towards, is to try and bring like more love and communion and communication with our relating with one another, and hold love a little bit higher than
just sex.
Well,
sex in my view is high. Let's
it
just call
very,
it fucking
you
know.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with fucking when it's done consciously.
Yeah.
But you know, what I just spoke about, you know,
you,
often people used to do it drunk in a pub and not never seen the person again. And but yeah, that would have more value, because if you have sex with them, sometimes, you know, I would see my girlfriend and ask them, so what happened last night? And the point is, if they don't have penis inside vagina, because it goes down to that. Oh, nothing happened. And then I have the conversation. It's actually a lot has happened. They share their secret. They had eye gazing. They were kissed on the lips or on the neck. They stroke their hair. And I thought, well, but then a lot has happened.
A lot of intimate small moments.
And they still daydreaming when they tell me about it. So clearly touched you. But we still attach to this language Oh, but nothing happened.
Yeah.
As if when the penis goes inside the vagina is a seal of approval.
It's like that's when something actually happened. Yeah.
For society standard,
yeah.
Then you are a pair.
Yeah, I see.
And then there is something of value there.
Mm.
It's still attached to it. Yeah. I feel it's this patriarchal way of marriage.
Yeah.
You know, in the old days, if the woman was penetrated, yeah. then... she's now attached for this man forever.
Yeah.
He's going to decide to marry you or not.
Yeah.
And if he's going to decide not to marry you, you're in trouble, lady.
Yeah.
Because he already contaminated you.
Oh, yeah, I see. Wow. Yeah, that old mindset and old conditioning and stuff. Yeah, I definitely feel like we are trying to, like, break out of these old patterns and restrictions kind of in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but now tell me about jealousy. What happened? Because that's a big piece generally.
It is. Normally, so if one of us feel jealous, lately I've been really vulnerable with what I feel. So if I am jealous, I will voice it. Maybe not to all the partners, maybe to one. Maybe not even to the person that I felt jealous with or about. Maybe it's to the person that I was jealous about. I'll have that conversation and process that jealousy with them. And normally what we do is we would try and get to the bottom. So jealousy is kind of not really the emotion, there's something underneath it. So we normally would go a little bit deeper into that, like, why are you jealous? Is it because you fear that you're not enough, that you feel that you're gonna lose the partner, or that you're not providing as much as the other partner is? And it's all stuff that has come up and that we try and process with each other. What I find a little bit hard to deal with is jealousy when it's people outside of the current sexagon.
Uh-huh.
So I'm still struggling to be okay with, like, random people, like, going out. And I get it. Like, I don't know why. I'm not really, like, the type of person to go out and kiss randoms at a bar or something. But some of my partners enjoy kissing and they find it really connecting, and so they would go and try that. And that's something that I'm trying to work through and still struggling with it. But what I found is just to be extremely vulnerable with your partners and the other people in the group about what you're feeling.
Because me, I suspect that maybe if it's someone in your group, you know them.
Yeah.
But if she kissed someone random in a bar, you don't know them.
Yes.
So it's even more scary because your imagination goes
true.
Can go wild.
I actually never considered that. Yeah.
It's because also, they're going to be all that you're never going to be. I mean, I didn't, my mind would go into the worst,
you know,
the competition at best. Whether if you know the people in the sexagon, you also know their weakness and their limit. And it's like an extension of you.
Mm.
But the one in the world, you don't know
him. Yeah,
could be a real threat.
And it's also like their intentions with that partner. Something that I feel is also like I worry about the person's intention with each partner. And are they gonna hurt the partner? It's also that kind of thing that also comes into my mind, as well as the jealousy. So yeah, it's something that I'm trying to work through, and I do struggle with it.
So I want to ask you a question, but you can choose to answer me or not. Let me know if I go too personal, but I think that is where the juice is. When we first met and we agreed to do the podcast, and then for a long, you know, we couldn't do it immediately. And then at one point you had separated from the group.
Yes, I did.
And now you're back
with
the group. I would like to ask you why, if you want to talk about that. What made you
separate.
And come back?
So part of it, I was in quite a state. I can't exactly remember what it was about the festival, but I was struggling with the energy a bit. And a couple other healers and people have come to me and they said that they see us together and they're a bit worried. And then they started voicing their concerns. And it was much older people. And a part of me feels like it's monogamous, old mindset kind of people. That's why. But I didn't at the time consider that. So I was taking what they were saying very, like, personal.
Seriously.
And I was taking it seriously. And they were saying, you should be careful. Doesn't look like the best intentions in the group. And it looks a bit weird. And yeah, just dark energy about it. And so I was just in my head so much that I got a little bit upset, and I kept running it through my head, and I started to notice some stuff in the group, and I think it just got amplified by the people talking to me and saying it, and I decided to leave. Originally, I didn't want to actually break up or leave or separate from the group. I just wanted some space to myself to think about it, but I felt so rushed, and I was in such a weird state that I just decided, okay, this is the only way I'm going to get space, like cut everything off, no communication, no anything, and be it properly by myself and with my own thoughts. So that's why I did it.
So now when you do this, do you communicate to all six? How does it work in logistic?
So this is also, like, this has been my, it was my learning from this, is that I should have done it with all six. I only did it with the partner that I was intimate with.
Which was there, also present,
yes,
at the festival.
Yes. So I only communicated with her, and I shouldn't have just communicated with her. Afterwards, I regretted it very deeply. I saw how it hurt the others that I didn't come and have a conversation with them and voice that I need some space and time, and I'm going to break up or take a break for myself. And yeah, I definitely should have voiced it to you.
How do you know that they got hurt? Did they contacted you?
So afterwards, I went back to them after realizing some of this is, it's people talking to me and I'm not in a good state, and I'm just taking their advice too much to heart, and I should literally just put it aside and feel into my sex, my heart, and my belly, and see really what I would like and what I want. And I came back to them and I said that I think I've made a little bit of a mistake. I have a lot of love for this group, and I only feel love in the group. I'd like to have a discussion with the other partners and with you. And then, yeah, from there, I came back and we had a conversation about it, and we processed everything that happened and how it went down together.
The whole six of you had
not
a group
all
conversation.
Six, not all six. Everyone that's partners with partner one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other two were at home at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So four of you.
Yeah, so the four of us sat and we processed it together, and they voiced that they were hurt by this and they were hurt by that and what they were upset about, and yeah, we talked about it. Yeah. And worked through it together.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It feels like so advanced. So so when you sit to talk about it together, do you have a routine? Like, do you have a structure? Do you have 5 minutes each? How does it work? You have a talking stick?
Sure. We've actually never gotten to a point where it's like an argument or intense. So we don't have a structure right now. I know they have an idea of a structure if it's needed, but we've never needed one this far up to this point. So we just sit down and have an open conversation about it. At the time that we were doing this, we were in a communal kitchen at another festival with random people coming into the kitchen the whole time. And we were just having this super intimate conversation about what had happened between the four of us just sitting there. And yeah, it was just super vulnerable, and everyone has a turn to speak, I suppose, but it's more like when you're speaking, don't interrupt them, just yeah, be kind of respectful, and if you do, and if they have a problem with it, then just voice it. And it's, yeah, it's very free, it's not really structured.
But you must have learned this somewhere. Where do you learn to, when some, because I teach, you know, I do groups and retreat for many years.
Yeah.
And this is one of the most important skills that I teach, is listening, hearing what has been said, really hear you, not being ready to respond to you. And to do that, I time them. So now, if they're in a group of three, number one talks, you have 3 minutes, uninterrupted talk. And I notice for the majority of the time, people constantly wants to even agree with you.
Yeah.
It's an interruption. Yes, I know how you feel. I know exactly.
See.
Yeah. They want to please you. And instead, it's just hear me. Let me talk, because I'm also in a role here. Stuff is coming up. And if you keep interrupting me, even if you want me to feel good about it, it's not, you make me feel that there is a problem. Just let me talk. And this is the bigger piece that people learn, that when someone talk, you just listen and you don't prepare your answer, because you're not going to answer to them. Then when it's turned to number two, they just get to say how they feel. It's not in relationship to what just been spoken.
Yeah.
Oh, you just say that and I have to answer you. Yeah. No, no one has to answer anybody.
Yeah.
But how do you feel? Now, of course, you heard them. Mm. It's part of your reality now.
Mm.
What do you want to say? Do you want to include what was just said or not? And then the third one will speak. What do you want to say? It maybe it's just, oh, when I hear you talk and it's all about how I feel and I feel really sad because you say this or because it reminds me of something else.
Mm.
So in this way, people are learning really to do what you do spontaneously.
It's quite interesting, yeah.
Because, you know, generally in my group, there is people in their 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s.
Yeah.
Sometimes also someone in their 20s. But the main core, it's 40, I would say.
Mm.
And so it's another generation from you, you know. It's the generation before you.
Mm.
And, we learn to be differently with each other, and with the world.
Yeah.
And what I see, we defending ourselves all the time, you know, like to prove a point, not to just.
Mm.
So if you speak about something, I have to tell you
how
I feel, like for fear to be left out and not to be vulnerable enough to hear you.
Mm.
So I'm really impressed to know that you already have these skills, that you didn't have to learn them.
It's quite interesting. I've never thought about that, and I haven't done any. I suppose my mom, being a ISTA organizer and attending that, I've learned some things through growing up with her, but I've never done a course or done anything around it. And this is my first polyamorous relationship with multiple partners. And I don't know, it's just the way it's working.
Expressing.
And yeah, they've taught me a lot about reacting, though. And definitely the partner that I'm intimate with, I've definitely learned a lot from her and on how to respond and how to not react and to feel and just sit back and listen. She did teach me quite a bit of that. But also with my mom, I think it definitely also added to it.
Mm.
But yeah.
Yeah, by osmosis, you know, by her breathing in the space. Yeah. And did you have intimate relationship before this polyamorous? Were you in monogamous dynamics?
I was in monogamous dynamics. Yes.
Long term, or you're
very
the type?
Long, I was very monogamous. Before,
okay.
I thought my mom and this tantra work and this stuff was so far out of my, like it was so far out of my sphere. Like I did not think that this would be the case. Even a year ago, I would never have imagined myself in this position at all. Yeah, very, very monogamous, very one-person kind of guy. And then it was very long. I would always be long relationships, like longest one was a year before. It was not too long, but for that age.
For your age,
it was
long.
Quite long.
Yeah.
And even before that, it was like 9 and 7 months. It was quite long relationships, yeah.
Definitely not fucking around.
No, I wasn't, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Ah.
And it was.
So how did it start? How did you get involved with the sexagon? How did it begin?
It was really interesting. So there was a girl that I was very attracted to, and we were together and kind of together. She wanted more open relating or polyamorous relationship, and she discussed it with me. And I said I was open to it, and let's see how this goes. But the way that it happened was without communication. It was really horrible, and basically went around, and I found out she would do the same things with the same people in the exact same spots that we did it in the same way. It was like a routine. And I don't know, I was really put off by it, and being from monogamous relationships, I didn't know how to react. I didn't think, I just went up to her and said, I can't do this at all. So I'm so sorry. And it was quite
But you
new.
Didn't know who were these other people that she was engaging with?
No, I didn't know
their
them
name,
at all. No,
their face,
nothing. I saw them, and I witnessed her connecting and being intimate with them, but I didn't have a personal connection or relationship with them at all. And so after that happened, the very next day at this festival that we were at, they were having a polyamory talk My partners were having a polyamory talk, and then I attended that, and I realized, okay, wow, this is such an amazing way to kind of think of it. And at first, I wasn't really considering the people giving the talk as potential partners, but we spent some more time together after the talk and just discussed some stuff and some of my experiences, and then we formed this connection. And I got into the van with them, and we went to a trance party, and it was, yeah, just from there, just built that connection and started interacting with them more and more. And yeah, that's how it started with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just letting it all land in my being. It's like, it sounds so free.
It is very free, I must say. I would not have thought that this was a possibility at all. My closed-mindedness before, I was so against more partners. I thought it was, but it's been the most, I must be honest, it's been the most fulfilling relationships that I've been in. It's been really happy, much, much more fulfilled in this than I have been in the past.
Yeah. And so, if your partner, number one, is very intimate with number two, and you are there in the van, do they pay you attention? Does it turn into a threesome? Or they could just share intimacy by themselves, and you're okay with being, I say this in inverted comma for whoever is listening, can see my hand, left out. So you can also be on the outside and watch them. Does this happen? That's, you know, you see other in the group being intimate and you are the outsider, or you join in and then become expanded. How does it work?
Interesting. So with the monogamous couple, they have done that in front of us, but we obviously cannot partake because they are monogamous. But with the other partners, I wouldn't say that they would allow us. I'm not sure if it's an option. We haven't explored that possibility at all. I'm not sure if they have, but in the van, I would say that they would, if they want to be alone, they'd probably ask you to leave. But it's been very free. Like, we've had people in the back of the van while two partners are driving, the other two are in the back doing their thing, and that's just, yeah, how it would go.
And jealousy. If they would ask you to please leave us alone because we want to get busy now alone, would you get jealous?
That's
how
something.
How would that feel?
If it's in the group, I don't think I would have a problem. Within the group, I would remove myself and go do whatever I would like to do, spend time by myself or with the other partner. But I wouldn't say I get really jealous about it. I've experienced it a couple times where they've wanted to be alone or wanted to be intimate with only them, and I'm a thief, and I haven't really had such an issue with it. They've helped me very much so work through it, and because I'm being confronted with it the whole time,
exactly.
I do work through it. I think you do work through it at a point faster, and you start to understand it, and okay, cool, this is why I feel upset or jealous about it. And I think I'm still a little bit jealous every now and then, but much less than what I was, and I'm working through it.
And maybe I think jealousy is something that will never go away. We just learn to relate to it in a different way, not as a problem, but as a, you know, entry point. Why am I jealous? What's moving in me? Or maybe even, okay, jealousy, come in. Have a tea with me. Let's go sit by the river.
By the river.
Me and my jealousy. And sing a song. And also that we don't have to resolve it.
Exactly, yeah.
Or come to terms with it.
With it, yeah.
Because this is just about being human and human feeling. We have fear. I think the fear of being abandoned belongs to the human nature.
Yeah. Definitely agree that I wouldn't say that it's gone away, my jealousy, but it definitely has changed in the way that I see it and feel it, and how I deal with it has changed very much.
that is not an enemy.
It's not
it's
an
just
enemy.
Oh, you can recognize it and be with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
and it's like a way for you to actually check in. Okay, why do I feel this way? Why? And go into yourself, kind of. That's been my process, is that I've gone into myself and, okay, why do I feel this way? Okay, communicate that this is how I feel, and I felt this way because you were intimate with them and I was a little bit jealous, but this was actually the core of that.
Yeah.
And moving through it together as a collective as well is also, it makes it much easier because they all give their insight and give advice.
Because they probably felt that already also, and they do feel like you, so it makes you feel human, not the odd one out.
Yeah, and they hold you very well as well if you are upset or processing that.
How do they do that?
Just by giving you a space to communicate, and just giving you comfort and working through it with you and giving their advice and from an outside perspective of the different partners. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Makes me want to have my own sexagon. Octagon. Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels really, really inspiring.
Yeah. And yeah, it's very interesting, and I'm curious to see how it's going to move forward when the other partners get other partners, because everyone's partners with partner number one, so it's going to be very interesting when we want to bring our other partners as well and see how that would work into the group.
Well, it's also interesting that you very relaxed with the other partner, like you have a brotherly relationship. You know, for me, in one of my sexual fantasy, the biggest sexual desire was to have a love affair with two men that are also into each other. Not just two random men, and I'm the woman in the middle, and they, you know, individually with me, and they can do it together. You know, in the fantasy, they're always brothers or twins or father and son. But when I look into the fantasy, I realize that I want them to connect, to have a connection with each other. They're not absolute strangers.
I see.
And that will be a turn on for me. And I realize I would love, you know, the ultimately that they could also find each other attractive.
I see.
That they can also kiss.
They've had this fantasy as well in our polyamorous family. Before the couple got monogamous, him and the other male would interact and they would kiss, but not go further than that. But and partner one and two, or partner one and three, the females, they actually prefer to be called, but they are very into that idea and have mentioned it to us as well. But I'm not really attracted to him in that way.
Yeah.
And I'm not against it, or that being a possibility in the group, or finding another male and having an attraction to him. It's more that just this connection with him is different, and it feels more of a brother type of connection.
Yeah, and also maybe you're not attracted to every man, but to a particular man. One day it could happen, and the fact that you don't have to feel it's a problem, or contracted about it. You know, it's always I feel about the person.
Yeah,
you know, one time I had a love affair with a woman for about 6 months.
Mm.
I had a lot of sex with women, but never a relationship, because I felt I'm not a lesbian. You know, I'm not into women, but I'm into being. And so for us women, it's always been easy to be sexually available, especially in my 20s when I was very explorative and experimental. We had a lot of group sex in our house where everybody was participating if they wanted, if not they were looking. We were doing a lot of LSD also, dope. We were, you know, it was us, sex, drugs and rock and roll, you know, it was all of it together. But it was very playful, and I think was a great playground for me to feel very liberated and to have had this experience, because I think it's important to have them. Mm. You know, even to look at a couple making love in front of you and feeling relaxed. And it doesn't have to be porn.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a performance. And you can have your tea and talk with your friend while your other friend are really making love. They're not fucking, they're making love.
And witness that.
And you feel it in your being because you are included. They know you are there. They're not going to pretend. You are in the room.
Yeah.
That informs their relating as well, you know. And so you're all part of this. And you can relax in it without watching, not watching. Am I supposed to watch? Am I a pervert if I watch? Am I a voyeur? Are they going to be upset? You know, all this discomfort.
Yeah.
And I think when we become really comfortable in including that, you know, you can have... Because we're more comfortable with friend having a fight than friend having sex in the kitchen. You know, we all have had some friend having a fight in the kitchen, but very few having your best friend having sex in the kitchen. And you feel so awkward that you can't walk in, as if, damn, it's the most beautiful things in the world. It's what it's we all look forward to. You know, to meet someone and make love to them. You know, to make love with reality. I feel our life is our love affair with the divine, which then reflects in people that we meet. And yet, in our contemporary world, is the most shamed things, you know? So, I've lost my train of thought right now. But I was speaking when I was young and we were having this group dynamic. And men were always... So, for us women, was easy.
Yeah.
There is a man and me and my girlfriend, of course we can kiss. And of course I can kiss her yoni and arouse her like that because we are explorative. And I don't know, for us women, it's always been spontaneous. But man on man, oh my God, never. So even if we were in a group of five or six, the men would never be close to each other.
I see, they would never.
But always have a woman in between them.
Oh, I see.
They don't even touch each other by mistake.
I see.
Touch each other elbow. Ooh, you can see how it would retract their hand. Never mind touching each other genital or kissing or stroking each other hair or arousing each other genital. So that's, I grew up, that was always a taboo and always irritated me to the point that I didn't like this man as much anymore.
Yeah,
you know, if I did like them, when then we were in the context of the group and I see their rigidity, I stopped liking them.
Interesting.
You know, and I liked the guy that could relax in there. There was this one guy, for example, he was officially straight. He liked girls.
Yeah.
But he loved the attention of the gay man. I was always being in an environment of gay people. So I think I was queer. That's how it's defined it now. We were, so I was the straight one, you know, in between inverted comma, never been straight. God forbid me. Never too straight, please. So in this queer environment, and there was this guy, he liked women, but he loved the attention of gay men. And the gay men knew that he was straightish, but they knew that he liked to be teased and touched by them. And so he would let them kiss him and touch him. Maybe he wouldn't go and touch them or kiss them, but he would let that happen. And I always find him extremely attractive. I liked him because he would allow for the exploration to happen. And he wasn't rigid. What I could see in this other man, that they would hold back from the potential of this experience, where we were all in for it.
Fully present.
And also, it doesn't mean that because I'm straight, I also say yes to any man. Or if you are a straight man, you say yes to any woman. I think discernment is important to be there. And it's the same if there is this gender or that gender. You know, it's always in the moment that is your yes. It's for the person rather than the gender.
Definitely is the connection and the that particular person. Yeah, I definitely agree.
You know, you never know. It could be that he's a man or a woman, but suddenly you have a yes. There is an arousal here, in an unexpected maybe. But why not? And so, sorry, I'm always losing track of myself.
It's okay.
Told you, I think I've just discovered I'm ADHD. But I started by saying that I had a, only one, so I had a lot of sexual exploration with women. But never felt moved to call them the next day or go out for coffee and start to have a relationship. But one time it happened, and I had this love affair for 6 months, and then after it ended. And I remember I was speaking to another woman. We were in India, this tantra ashram where I was under. I was learning tantra yoga.
Yeah.
And this woman was in relationship, has been with many other women. So I was talking to her, and I said, you know, I think I'm not a lesbian. I think I'm not girlfriend material for another woman. I think I just like men too much. And she's like, no, I just think it wasn't the right woman. Boom. It's just that.
Yeah.
You know, and when you meet a person that can move you in a way that are completely unexpected, like for you to be attracted to this one woman brought this whole dynamic.
Yes, yeah.
And now it's your choice to say, oh no, I can't do this. Or your attraction for her allowed you to relax around everything. And now you're enjoying it.
It's exactly what happened. I definitely was mainly attracted to her, and now through that I've been introduced to this whole new world and dynamic of relating, and it's been super amazing, and I definitely resonate with it much more than what I do monogamy.
So for me now, lately, I'm a little bit triggered by this polyamory. It's fashionable also you know, and is the new way to do things. And maybe for you guys, because you're young and you're entering, you're creating it in the moment.
Interesting.
But for people of my age, it's still a breakthrough from a system. So I found it that oftentimes it's reactionary. It's not chosen because it's happening, but it's chosen as an idea because it wants to be in reaction to what I've been educated. Maybe many people of my age have been married for 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Just because they had to, and they could never look and flirt with anybody else, and they had it hard. And so for them it's like, oh fuck all of this, I'm gonna break through, I'm declaring myself polyamorous.
I see.
Before the opportunity even happened.
Yeah.
And so for me it's like, well, just wait and be in the moment, because I see people coming out of sweet relationship in the name of polyamory, and then I found them on the other side of this journey where they didn't grow, and they don't feel great, and they regret many choices they've made because it was all coming out of a reaction, not a real movement. So now you're in a monogamous relationship and you're looking out for the other one so that you can be polyamorous. And the first one that stimulates you a little bit, you're going to go into it and you're going to declare it, and you bring in drama.
Yeah.
In all the dynamic with the new lover that is not prepared maybe to come to bed with your husband or ex-husband or almost ex-husband or potentially ex. And the husband is going to be a potential ex unless he comes to bed with the new lover. You know, it's really loaded.
Yeah.
And it gets messy many times. Yeah. And what I observed is that people use this actually to avoid deeper intimacy. So now you've got three or four or five lovers, and you don't have the time to be deep and intimate with all of them. So when the relationship number one gets challenging, you go to see number two. And when number two also demands too much of your attention, look, there is number three now.
Yeah.
Because not everybody is in an open circle where they can speak with each other. And so they would force this one not to avoid the intimacy, but to be thrown back, which seems... it's what you guys are doing. You can't just walk away and avoid, because lover two is connected with lover one, and lover three is connected. So, you know, you're constantly called back. And I really love when you share, because I could feel in your sharing that when you chose to move out of your relating, what I sensed that you were focusing on your relating with number one was you and her, and you had enough, and you felt... that's it. It's too complicated. It's painful. I'm out of here. Which is normally what we do. But then you felt sorry for all the other when they felt hurt. You know, it was a real thing. It, like emotionally for you also. That they were hurt. That they also loved you.
I didn't think that they had such a connection with me.
Exactly.
Like I had a connection with them, and it was I value our connections very much, but I never thought it would hurt them when I left like that in the way that it did. And yeah, it was definitely a kind of a shock to me, and we are very close, I suppose, all of us.
Yeah.
Very, very,
and it's so beautiful because now, okay, I'm fighting this one, but the other one still love me.
Mm.
Can I be in it for the love that is shared?
Mm.
And maybe you can change your dynamic with this lover,
yes,
number one,
yeah,
if he needs to, but still available to be loved.
Yeah, definitely. And it has shifted. I mean, partner one and two have shifted their relationship. They were intimate and were having very, like, they were having sex, and they changed it to a platonic relationship after that. And then it shifted back into something a little bit more intimate, where they kiss, and they haven't had penetrative sex again, but they've shifted it back into something that's a little bit more intimate. So it flows and it changes, and there's still other partners that love and care for one another. So even if it does change, like,
yeah,
there's still that love that's kind of held,
yeah,
above everything else.
And what it makes me feel when I hear you talk like this, that, you know, there is this one thing when we are just monogamous, when we are just two in a relationship.
Mm.
When we separate, this feeling of abandonment is really,
yes,
big.
Yes.
And solitude, and feeling, if I don't have you, now what? I'm on my own.
Yeah.
And for many people, this can be a mind fuck, like, oh,
yeah,
no one is ever going to love me again, and I'm unlovable.
Mm.
And when I hear you talk like this, I think, well, look, suddenly you couldn't go into that, even if you went for a little bit,
yeah,
I'm unlovable. Then suddenly you've got the peer group that said, actually, no, we want you back. Hey,
yeah,
dude, we also love you. It,
yeah,
wasn't just her. What about us?
Hmm.
Are you willing to be loved by,
yeah,
us also? And so maybe it's the antidote to that feeling of abandonment, because you can separate with one, but you're not abandoned by the group.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think it can ebb and flow, and it can change, and the connection, it will probably change, and you will always be held in a way. It is kind of reassuring, and I never thought of it in that way at all, actually. But yeah, being held.
Because maybe, yes, you're held, and,
yeah,
the fact that they love you does something to know,
yes,
that they miss you, they don't want you to go.
Mm.
Even if you're not having sex with me,
yeah,
I still want you close to me.
Yeah.
It would make me feel wonderful. Just,
yeah,
the idea is like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, the thoughtfulness of the other partners as well. Like, I'm still struggling, I suppose, because I've been in monogamous relationships for so long. And it's still kind of something that I'm learning to do, is being in a polyamorous relationship, but how thoughtful they are. Like, I keep concentrating on partner one, but there's the other two partners,
yeah,
as well, and I keep forgetting that, like, I can go and interact with them, and,
yes,
yeah, they bring me stuff like flowers or like pretty feathers that they've picked up, and I just was so surprised. I was like, oh, thank you so much. And I always forget that they are part, and that, yeah, they are included, and they care and love for me as well, and I have love for them as well. And yeah.
Yeah.
And just because we're not having sex doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's still that love and that intimacy between us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's like friendships start to gain value, you know.
Mm.
It's like in the patriarchal world, it comes second. You know, that's the story I just shared about my friend.
Mm.
If he wasn't my boyfriend, he wasn't invited. It wasn't,
yeah,
so important in the hierarchy of relating.
Mm.
For me, it was more important than a lover. And he,
yeah,
stayed in my life for 20 years.
Yeah.
Longer than
any partner, yeah,
any lover.
Mm.
He's still there, you know. And so why we dismiss friendship? We think that... Because I think in the old days it was associated with marriage, and marriage was a political agreement, you know. Then it means our land are together, our family,
yeah,
are together. And it's about politics, land ownership and money, empire. And it didn't matter even if you loved your husband,
yeah,
or not. And what you are showing me, that I'm getting this sense that the world is really moving towards the heart space.
I definitely think so. Yes, and I've seen it, like, there's still this a bit of a contraction every time we go out together. Or, like, they'll see her kiss one partner, and then another partner, and then another partner, and they think, oh my gosh, what is going on? And I can see there's a little bit of a contraction, but as soon as you start speaking to them and speaking about the different relating and how it works, you can see their mind open up and kind of consider it for a second and, like, think about it. And it's been really beautiful to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely do think that it's moving towards more of a heart space and acceptance.
And also acceptance. I feel what's key in your relating is this communication, open communication, which also spontaneously seems non-verbal. Okay, we just got cut off by my app that says we've been talking for an hour already, so we're going to wrap it up now. And the piece we went on jabbing that didn't get recorded, which I think it had value for me and I want to share, is that I have no worries for the future and the planet. And I see there is a lot of pressure about saving the planet and doing something for the planet, especially towards the youngster. And I feel that the only things we need to do for the planet is to love more. And what you've been educating me, I feel, thank you, Ruben. I mean, this, we're going to wrap up
thank
with
you.
This.
Yeah.
But I really felt you've taught me something today. I feel really inspired, and I have a lot of inspiration and trust for the future, because I think if you, all the young ones are going to learn, or at least be willing to challenge themselves to love more. That's what you're doing. You're using your heart of this muscle that can expand. And I think if all the young ones learn to love more, that's all there is to do. And then we can stop with all this veganism and activism that sometimes feels so hard. I see the young ones put a lot of pressure on themselves and hurt themselves in order to save the planet.
Yeah,
you have this experience.
I definitely have. It's quite interesting. When I was monogamous, I was very big into activism, very big into, like, okay, this must help. I posted it all over my social media, which seems to be the biggest thing. Everyone just posts whatever, and it's like, it's not really gonna do anything. And now, coming into this relationship, being with more partners and bringing more love, I feel like it's made such a difference. And even in my life, like with my mom and stuff, I can see how it's actually changed stuff, and her seeing me like this makes her question things and also brings more love into the house, and she wants to explore it and see
into the world. Your activism is a lovism in a sense, you know. You don't have to post and declare, but you just can be more of yourself from the place of the heart.
And
that's already makes a difference in your life. And I can assure you, it will make a difference in the world because you impact everybody you meet. Like you've met me.
Yeah.
I was impacted immediately by your presence, by the way you are. And I wanted to make this interview with you because I knew there was something here for me too. Just by you doing what you love doing, it's already impact your surrounding without having to be hard ass about it or be veganazi, you know. We have to change and save the world. Just love more.
And thank you for giving me a place to speak about it and for having me on your podcast.
Thank you so much, and I wish you so much more loving.
Thank you, and same to you.
Ciao.
Ooh.